Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, what a terrific opportunity for me today to catch up with two women that are building a business around blogging, and in particular in the very space our show is dedicated to, and that is helping individuals regain their career mojo and move forward. In fact, they have the name www.mojo40.com. So hello to the two mavens, Susan Marie Kim and Diane Dolinsky-Picard. How are you two today?
Very well, thanks. How are you, Zara?
We're busy.
We're doing great.
Excellent. Well, let me give a brief introduction of my two guests, and then we'll dive right into the subject that is so near and dear to their heart and how they are helping others pave the way for their careers forward. Susan Marie Kim is Digital Creative Director and leads teams that create websites and advertising campaigns that people actually like clicking on, despite the fact that everyone claims they're too cool to ever do things like that. She was previously the Creative Director at Advertising.com, which is part of the AOL Corporation, and helped develop some of the highest performing campaigns in the industry. As the creative head for Mojo40.com, her aim is to help people over 40 that get their career mojo back with content that is helpful, entertaining, and completely free of marketing ease, like words such as shifting paradigms. Interestingly enough, she's a graduate of Harvard University in biochemistry, and frankly, her colleague as well, who's with us today, Diane Dolinsky-Picard. She studied visual and environmental arts at Harvard. She is the marketing director for Mojo40.com and focuses on getting users to come to the site, engage with it, and then tell their friends. She uses social networking, search optimization, and, of course, large doses of charm and chutzpah. As an entrepreneur, Diane truly understands the perspective of making every cent count, a trait that, frankly, makes her unique among many marketing professionals. From optimizing complex email campaigns to nurturing a Salesforce.com database from some 8,000 to 130,000 records, she knows how to keep the lead generation machine moving. Well, I'd like to know how it was the two of you collided together to start this interesting venture. Where'd you start?
So, quite appropriately, it was at the Harvard Club of New York at a networking meeting. Yeah, so, and what's interesting is I think possibly we vaguely knew each other at Harvard, but really hadn't seen each other in many, many, many moons. And it was at a Harvard Club networking event is where we met, and we just hit it off right away.
That's great. Well, then the idea of how it turned into the idea of jointly blogging, where did that come from?
Well, we actually were about to go to a conference together on the intersection between business and technology.
Okay.
And it wasn't meant to be that we attended the conference, but I called Susan up after. It was a great experience, and we decided to get together, talk about it. And in that conversation, we said, hey, we should do something online. We both have tremendous experience on Web 2.0 technologies. And rather than just doing it for an employer, we ought to do it ourselves. And the obvious choice was blogging. It's like the central hub in a hub-and-spoke system for all the digital wherewithal.
Interesting.
Well, I'd like to add to that is because Diane and I both know something about the digital world that we also get asked for advice, you know, like how do I set up my LinkedIn account? What the hell is Twitter? Things like that. So I know I had been getting to the point where I was copying and pasting that advice in emails to my friends. It's like, oh, not this again. So that's another reason I thought, hey, Diane, why don't we just centralize all of this in the same place?
And, you know, isn't that an interesting thought that, in fact, many of us that have written a lot of articles and we find ourselves sending the same article out to people time and time again, and then it suddenly dawns on us, like, duh, this might be the seeds of a book. Or in this case, in contemporary terms, the seeds of, like you say, that digital hub.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
Well, what do you mean for those, the terminology, what exactly is career mojo?
Well, career mojo means that you are excited to wake up in the morning and do what you do best,
mm-hmm.
whether you're going to a job, whether you're blogging, whether you've got gigs, whether you're consulting, you are totally into it. It excites you, and it drives you.
And, to add a layer to that, I think now, especially in 2011, part of having career mojo, it's the confidence that you have a great profile. And now I really think that means your digital profile. Like, you know, if someone's meeting you in person, if they're Googling your name and seeing you, or if they're looking at your LinkedIn profile, that you have the confidence to know that it's going to be a great reflection on you.
It's very interesting. I had the discussion today with a very senior former vice president of research at a Fortune 50 company, and he has yet to put up a website. And he's a consultant on his own. And up until now, he's been able to ride on this phenomenal network he'd built over 35 years. Well, that well is kind of drying up. And
yeah.
I also think he realizes he wants to get with a totally different set of companies. And when I said, well, what's the URL you own? There was this like dead silence on the phone. And it wasn't that he isn't tech savvy, but it didn't dawn on him the opportunity to jump on board with the very space you two are certainly so comfortable in.
And we are finding it usually with people in that age group that it has worked for them, you know,
yeah.
their traditional networking ways. And nothing will ever replace face-to-face. However, just because they're a little bit, and I'm going to use the word scared, because a lot of times people don't do something because they're frightened of it, because they're somewhat ignorant of it.
Or they don't want to prove that they don't know it already.
Yeah,
exactly.
So it's ego is in the mix, yes.
Exactly, and that it's too bad that that prevents him from doing that. If he were to come on to our blog, though, he could see mojo40.com, he could see just how easy it is to at least set up a simple blog. And then, you know, if I think just by clicking around, he would see, you know what? Maybe I could get together a website. So, Zara, did you convince him to create a website?
Oh, absolutely. It was a 10-minute discussion. It was one of those that said, you really don't have a choice. Because
right.
this is all about, as you started out, having a great profile. And so the days of thinking you can pass out a resume or a paper copy of something, yeah, you can. But it's all about speed. And speed, you know, right there in the place is also being extremely contemporary, right? I mean, out on your blog, there's this amazing story I felt, or a trailer there, about how people are using Twitter to let it be known what jobs they have open. You know,
exactly.
Share us that with that. To me, that really threw me back.
You know, I got a lot of comments on that post where people said, you know, from time to time I saw something, but I thought it was random.
Mm-hmm.
You know? The point is there's tremendous plethora of tools out there that you can go through the Twitter bios, you can go through the Twitter stream, you can select people to follow, and if you're all keyed on a job, even in a certain geographical area, there is a way to identify it and jump on it. And by implication, what people are saying is, if you're interested in this kind of a job, we want somebody who's savvy about Twitter.
Exactly. I think the other lesson here is to realize how much can be communicated in a short soundbite. I mean, that
right.
would be probably what a lot of people will say is, well, I just can't get content there. Well, surprisingly enough, folks, we really can convey a lot. But we do have, and the flip side of that, of course, is you have to be really careful what you put out because you can't pull it back.
Yeah. Continuing what you were saying about having to really think about what you're going to say because you're limited to 140 characters. It reminds me of, you know, what Mark Twain said, to paraphrase it, if I had more time, I would have written it shorter. It's sometimes people are too lazy to just distill it down to the essence of
right.
what's really important. And I kind of appreciate that in Twitter. It's like, yes, you must distill it down to what's really important. It makes you think more.
And I also have to add to that, it is in all your communication, which is why Mojo 40, among other topics, covers a lot of soft communication skills. For example, people say, How come my email doesn't get answered? Well, here's the basic question. Is your email like the novel War and Peace, or does your email have three bullet points? Do you make your points succinctly?
Well, it's
is
even
better. Is your subject line right on target?
Yeah.
Or is it forward? Yeah. Those kind of things, for people who are over 40, they're not used to thinking about, and they're not only strategic, they're totally necessary in the world we live in.
I think you're right. In fact, the single biggest thing people miss is the power of the subject line. That to even get people to open up, and plus, folks still think that that email is communication. It's not. It's data transfer. It doesn't become communication until someone not only opens it, but reads it.
Yeah, no, apps. When I was working at AOL and actually in a startup that ended up being bought by Vivendi Universal, we found that you could get like a 500% increase in an open rate just by changing the subject line. I mean, it's amazing how powerful the subject line is, yet still I will have friends who will sometimes send me, here's their subject line. Nothing. It's completely blank. And it's like, oh, I couldn't think of anything.
Well, more importantly, those are the suspect emails that you think could contain viruses or come from a rogue person that's hacked in. I immediately delete them.
Oh, well, I couldn't find them because it had been put in my spam folder.
Yeah, that's the other part of it. Isn't that true? Well, one of the things I know the two of you really have revealed in the course of doing this is a body of individuals that feel they've become invisible at this phase of their life. And whether it's because, you know, they don't know about this type of technology or they've been so comfortable in where they came from and now they feel a loss and adrift. That word invisibility.
You know, I think it's more the latter of... You've gotten comfortable in, you know, okay, I've been doing this for so long, and I think it's also the fear of kind of stepping out and like, what if people laugh at me? What if they think, what if I look stupid? That seems to be the big fear for so many people, and you know what? It's so limiting, and you really are invisible. I mean, you're invisible in that digitally, in that people can't find your profile. They could Google you. They could look on LinkedIn. They don't see you. But also, it's almost the way you start to carry yourself because you're not feeling confident. Like, I don't really get this digital stuff. I don't really get all of this. I'm feeling like I'm out of it. That you almost literally do become out of it. And I think, once again, it gets down to that confidence that you don't have because you are afraid to really put yourself out there.
I think the other concept, which is really important now, is relevancy.
Yes. Yeah.
For instance, our audience is comprised of people who are working, and maybe they're not getting the promotions that they're looking for or the other job opportunities, as well as people who are not working and they're pounding the pavement. But here's the point. Everyone needs to be relevant. And the question is, how do you be relevant? If you don't understand the technology, even at a basic level, you can't bring ideas to the table which make you part of the conversation. And I'm using some buzzwords here, but I'm intentionally choosing them. Because you need to be part of the conversation, whether it's on the discussion groups of LinkedIn, whether it's on the news feed of Facebook, whether it's on the tweet stream of Twitter, whether it's in a presentation panel at a conference. Relevancy is uber crucial, and we talk a lot about how you become relevant and part of the discussion regardless of your employment status.
Well, and I would tell you there are a lot of people inside of large companies that are starting to lose a grip with their own career development in that very space of continuing to take advantage of opportunities that broaden the scope, that continue to put them in a position of really being a value-added contributor. And it's almost like some get a wake-up call one day and say, oh my gosh, my entire department's being eliminated. Or how could this happen to me? And yet they watch how some people are not, you know, ushered out, but rather grabbed up. And the reason is because of that very point you make, and that is of relevancy.
I have to laugh. You know what, Zara? I had exactly that experience. I was at a Saturday night cocktail party talking to two people in this cohort group. One was an anesthesiologist and one was an officer for a not-for-profit.
Mm-hmm.
And they exactly confirmed that. They said, you know, I feel like I'm faking it regarding technology. It's kind of scary. I have to look like I'm on top of it, but I'm not quite there. So we're trying to help people. We're putting up content that will take baby steps for them, just a first step. Hopefully, and we end our post with something called Mojo Moves, which say in three bullet points, these are small things you can do, committing a short amount of time to up your understanding, your discoverability, your communication skills, and so forth. It's really important that people not feel like they're faking it.
Well, I think the other piece of that is that we often talk on the show about reverse mentoring. And so to start surrounding yourself constantly with members of the younger generation who are fearless about these kind of things,
right,
that you can let it rub over to you, and the vice versa, that now the teacher becomes the student becomes the teacher.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I overheard in a Verizon store one day, a parent say to the salesperson, I have to buy the same phone as one of my kids because someone has to teach me how to use it.
Well, we all know the days when you couldn't program your VCR and the first thing you did was turn it over to your six-year-old and they fixed it. Voila.
Exactly.
Well, now, we talked about, you know, that many women that you've encountered really go through this feeling invisible. From the type of work you've done and the clients you've touched in, the workshops you host, the reactions to your blog, et cetera, are you finding similar symptoms coming back or comments and concerns from men?
Here's what I have found. In some ways, it is for men. It's not as large, though. It's definitely, I believe that men and women are absolutely equal when it comes to intelligence and rights and everything like that. But when it comes to this invisibility, I really do think so many women, once they're over 40, definitely experience the invisibility far more acutely than the men do.
My experience as an executive coach and helping others through career transition, though, is once the women get it, that there's a possible way out, they'll move a lot quicker than the men will. That's the
exactly.
flip of it.
I mean, I'll tell you, I had a conversation on the phone with someone who was a subscriber to our blog. And she contacted us through the Contact Us page, and I called her up, and I said to her, you've done some great things. This is after having a sort of interview to get to know her. I said, why don't you learn SlideShare and put that presentation that you had done into SlideShare and slap it up on your LinkedIn profile? Because that's going to say much more than the fact that, you know, you've mastered Microsoft Office and Excel and PowerPoint. And you've already made that presentation. And I said, I guarantee you, Kathy, you can learn it in 1 hour. You can put it up there, and you will be unique. You know what? She followed my advice, and she called me back. She was so excited. She said, I did it. I did it. You know, those kind of things will help you stand out.
Well, I can tell a quick story. When the Mac first came out, and we're talking 1985, right? My father had just retired from corporate America, came out to visit me in California. I had the opportunity to get quite a deal on the Macintosh computer. You know, had it all set up, wired to the printer, et cetera, big blanket over, red ribbon. You know, I whipped it off. Congratulations, Dad, you're retiring. He immediately seized and froze up, you know, at that time. And he says, oh, my gosh, what have you done? And I said, well, tell you what, I'm going to go make dinner. You just stay right here. You know, just have some fun here. And I walked away, went to the other room, and it wasn't, but within 10 minutes, suddenly I heard tick, 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 zzz, tick, 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 zzz. At that time, it was dot matrix printers, of course. But he came running out, showing me what he had done. He was 55, which, of course, is almost as old as I am now. And he says, and look at this. I did it, and I didn't even have to read the instruction book.
I know. So, oh, Zara, what a great
story. Isn't it a great story? And just move us now since 1985 to 2011. It's the same thing that you two are offering to those
exactly.
who need to see and,
you know,
the possibility.
I'll tell you one other story. There was a guy who said, I don't want to subscribe. I don't want to get 2 emails a week. Would you just send me it, you know, less frequently with all the links on it? So I said okay to him. After a few weeks of that, it was too much work. I said to him, you know what? I'm going to teach you about what an RSS feed is and what an iGoogle page is, because I can't keep doing this special thing for you, and you can benefit by looking at your iGoogle page when you want, how you want, to all the blogs you subscribe to. He looked at me a bit incredulous. I'm not sure I convinced him. He went away. He came back, and he raved about the experience. That little bit of learning that there's an alternative to getting emails was great for him.
Oh, and we all know how wonderful a thought that is, to get an alternative to emails, but to do it on our own terms, right? But I still think it comes back, and this is what you two are clearly all about with Mojo.com, it's the content. It's ease of use. It's in sound bites that make sense for people who have a variety of learning spectrums and backgrounds to leverage.
It's exactly, and so people like your dad when he first, you know, so you can have that aha moment of like, hey, you know, I didn't even have to really read the instructions. I got it. We definitely aim to have it so intuitive, as we like to say, even our mothers can can read and understand that, because there's tons and tons and tons of information out there how to do it. But, you know, as we all know, it seems to be sometimes written for people that already know what the hell they're doing. What about people that don't know? That's the whole reason they're looking for it, that aren't experts, or as we say, did not have a laptop in their bassinet.
Yeah, exactly. It's the digital native versus the digital immigrant terminology.
Right.
But the other piece of it is...
And I'd like to actually add the point, we have received quite great feedback on the value of our blog from a variety of sources. In fact, here's a big coup. This week, the New York State Department of Labor is recommending our site, among other job boards, as a unique site with great content for job hunters.
And I would say the two of you, that decision to not go to that conference or however that happened, and instead you met and said, why don't we try this? How long ago was that?
That was the very end of September, but we really started putting our ideas together the beginning of October, and we really launched by the end of November.
Right, because so, it was the end of Thanksgiving is when we just launched.
5 months and see what you've done. Well, I think this is going to be a fun journey to continue to watch. It's been a pleasure to have Susan Marie Kim and Diane Dolinsky-Picard, who are co-founders of Mojo40.com, a career site that I would suggest and expect that many of our listeners today are probably already out there looking to subscribe and follow the journey that you're enabling others to jump on this digital wave of excitement. Thank you, you two, for joining us here today on Circles of Change.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Great. We'll catch up and watch you soon. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.